It's been over a year since Joan Parker's husband, author Robert Parker, died suddenly at 77. His most enduring character, Spencer, the hero of over 36 books, a private investigator, a boxer with the heart of a poet, and fans around the world. We decided to pay a visit to the Parkers' Cambridge, Massachusetts home, and apparently we're not the only ones.
Every day, pictures are being taken of the front of the house, the back of the house. Often the doorbell will ring, and there'll be, you know, usually a couple, and they'll say, "Is this really where Robert Packer lived?" And I'm like, "Uh-huh. Honest to God. Yep, honest to God." "Do you mind if we take another picture?" We take a picture of you. I'm like, "Okay, all righty."
Bob and Joan Parker seemed inseparable. They first met at a birthday party when they were toddlers, and according to some old footage, it didn't go well.
The home movie shows little Joanie Hall, which would be me, seated next to little Bobby Parker, eating ice cream, and apparently his very presence annoyed the hell out of her. So I take a spoonful of ice cream and I fling it at him and catch him right in the face, whereupon he cries.
Perhaps some foreshadowing. They began dating in college, married in the 50s, had two boys. His first job was editing an insurance company magazine. She would become a professor of early childhood education and a powerhouse fundraiser for issues like AIDS. But early on, Joan Parker chafed at the role of devoted housewife. They split. He became a hugely successful author. They missed each other, but she needed her space. So they bought this house and divided it.
He said, "What if we bought a house and you had one floor and I had another and you live your life, I live my life, but we're together. When we're together, we're monogamous." And it worked beautifully.
Right inside the front door, Bob's old office, the shelves still lined with Red Sox memorabilia and books, most his. He'd written over 60, including the latest in the Spencer series, Six Kill, just released posthumously.
When I look at these books, I remember my mother saying to me when I said I was going to marry Bob Parker, she said, "Well, if you insist, but he's never going to make anything of himself." Sometimes I sit in the chair and I look at this and I'm like, "Oh, Emmy Lou, you are so wrong, so wrong."
This is where he was that day. This is
yes, and he was writing. You know, I live up there. So I ran down, he was writing. I said, "How's it going?" And he said, "Good, good." And when I came back, he was still at the chair, but, you know, gone. So now I have taken over the desk, which took me a little while to think, can I really sit at this desk? But he has such a great computer, and so I'm all right with it now, and I'm fine with the memorabilia that's around. But so moving on.
She is moving on. We do too, to another floor and one of the many kitchens they once shared.
Now we're in the kitchen. This is the entertaining kitchen.
Because Bob liked to cook, something I don't understand, and was quite good at it, as is Spencer. And notice Susan Silverman is bereft of cooking skills. And
apparently eating skills.
Well, that's a great departure from Joan, but Susan...
Nibbles.
Susan Silverman, Spencer's fictional love interest, whip-smart, funny, athletic, and paper-thin. In other words, Joan.
The conflation between Susan Silverman and Joan, it's everything. It's annoying, it's heartwarming, it's sweet, it's sour sometimes. I still get letters from fans addressed to Joan Silverman or Susan Parker. And so to be so conflated with her, particularly where I was his first reader. He would write 5 or 10 pages a day. The first person to read those 10 pages was Joan. Now I'm reading them with an eye towards, is the plot consistent? I would say things like, I think there's a big hole here. 5 pages ago you said this was happening and now this isn't consistent with what's happening over here. That, or he wrote beautiful descriptive passages. Rain particularly was one of his favorite things to write about. And sometimes I would say, I'm missing the descriptive passages. Mm-hmm. And he would say, I'm just trying to get through this book. Mm-hmm. Like, no, don't rush it, because I can see when you're rushing. And then we would come to Susan Silverman. And I'd say, okay, here we go again. She is driving me crazy. I said, she's so adulatory. Spencer, you are the man with the code. And of course, you right all wrongs. And you're the most outstanding, extraordinary of men, blah, blah, blah. And I'd say, for God's sake, can't she say, what the hell are you doing, Spencer? This makes no sense, or whatever.
She does a little of that in the new book, in Sixkill.
Sixkill. And I applaud every moment when I feel I had some impact on making her more real.
Well, but the other thing that's so obvious is that Bob Parker is an incorrigible romantic. Indeed. And he created in Susan the things that he wanted you to say about him.
That's exactly right, because he said at one point, you do not get it. Susan Silverman is my idealized version of you. She doesn't confront me, so you might want to take a lesson. No, I do not want to take a lesson from Susan Silverman. I want it to be the other way around. And so we would go back and forth on the subject.
One thing stood out for me when I read the new book, how much Spencer just sits and stares at Joan. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, at Susan.
See?
And you talk about how in the time before he died, he was sitting in a chair and mm-hmm. you knew something was wrong. He was just staring mm-hmm. at you. Mm-hmm. And there's a line from the book that really, again, I don't think it wouldn't have stopped me before, but he mm-hmm. says something about how he's sitting and staring at Susan, and it's something that he thinks he's going to do forever. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that line? Mm-hmm.
It's an odd experience to reread his work with him not being here, Sixkill. And then I've gone back to the early books, My God, I think, there I am. I'm on those pages. There's friends that we had on Canterbury Road transformed to something that could be put on the printed page. And how cleverly he mined everything, and his attention to detail. He used to say, see, I am one on whom nothing is missed. I notice everything, even when you think I don't. And by God, I think he was right.